Alzheimer's disease?
That's easy. I'm afraid of dying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of dying, but I don't want to live.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of dying, but I don't want to live. It's the body's natural answer to not having to die and yet depart from all resistance and depart from all the issues of life that you no longer want to be bothered by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Short and sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fun, they call the drug that they used to doctor that Aricept.
Mm-hmm.
Start looking that word up and see what it means.
Okay.
It will amaze you.
Uh-huh.
And some of the Latin forms that they use to name drugs,
yeah,
tell you what it is.
Yeah.
If you actually look up the Latin, it'll tell you what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fear fighter.
Oh, really?
Look it up. It's so much fun. You are smarter than you thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you can pick up the dead language, you understand it all. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have an insert. What is a drug? What are you naming it? Right?
Yeah.
Vancomycin. Put that one up. It's just too much fun.
Vanquish life.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Okay, we got amenorrhea, which is lack of periods.
Yes. That is a depletion of effectiveness in a sex.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can also have that in what you call transgendered people.
Uh-huh.
They will do the same thing.
Oh.
And that, and if it's not based on, like, well, there's a two part here. You're talking about people who have all the parts,
mm-hmm.
and the parts just don't activate for an ovulation or a cycle. Is that what you're discussing?
Right. They know it works. They've had them before, but then their periods just stop.
Yes. Well, that's the biggest cause of that is pregnancy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you're too sharp.
No, that's the sentence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
That's the sentence.
Uh-huh.
And in the normal aged people that happens to,
mm-hmm.
they want a baby so bad they can't stand it, so they actually shut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then people who don't want to be pregnant, they can stop for the fear of it.
Correct.
Okay. Very good.
And then they start taking the pill, which tricks them into being pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And a large percentage of your clients that would have this, if you'll find, they have had IUDs, they have had other types of contraception
mm-hmm.
in their past.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a way they now their body knows how to do it.
Mm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
But that's why they put the placebos in so you can't cycle, because otherwise you wouldn't cycle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of those sticks that they used to put in the arms.
Depo
Provera. That same type. That half-life of that is the same as what you would call the pregnancy. And many people kind of after that, or especially once they're run out and they remove them,
uh-huh.
they maintain that same position. Or they'll spot for a day and a half, and that's their whole cycle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's because they've bought into that process and they've figured it out now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That may not be exactly part of your disease, but that's disease, but
mm-hmm.
that'll get you there.
Interesting. Okay. Alrighty. Anemia.
Yes. Anemia. The lack of red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the specific aspect that you want to develop?
Yes.
Okay. That comes from your power.
Oh, yeah.
There's power in the blood.
Yeah.
Many references of blood has to do with protein. Protein enrichment is made from the bone marrow, the root of the problem.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And anemia relieves the pressure from an individual regarding their powerlessness, regarding a situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not strong. They're not able to complete.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to do a task, so they're anemic, so they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually, that's one blood test you can fake, you understand.
Mm, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you can pull yourself into a place where you become low. Uh-huh. You talk about it being low.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what that is.
Uh-huh.
And you can bring yourself to a state of low.
Mm-hmm.
And your bone marrow will say, well, it's low, so we need less red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And not make white blood cells take over.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a whole different thing, is it not?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you have an infection. But you can have so many white blood cells that it kills the red blood cells. There's
mm-hmm.
not room.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about that the white blood cell counts, and it's fine, and there's no noticed or perceived infection.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you still have anemia or low blood count.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it also shows up many, many times when you have a gastrointestinal bleed.
Yes, yes.
Where, now, what that is something eroded a hole in your gut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that happens in the heart sometimes.
Really? I didn't know you could erode your heart.
No, you erode your gut, but when you erode your heart, when you have a broken heart,
mm-hmm.
people who become anemic the most, the lion's share, are little old ladies who've lost their husbands.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they're powerless, so they're mm-hmm. low.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if it means they have to eat a hole through their gut to make that a reality,
mm-hmm.
and then they basically just pass the blood,
mm-hmm.
then they're done. And sometimes the doctors can't even find it. Do you know why?
Mm-mm.
They have to be fast. They have to clean themselves out for the scopes and the GI series,
yeah,
upper and lower, and colonoscopies, and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
They're clean, so there's no bleed.
Oh, yeah.
Then they eat again, and then it rubs it again, and then they're bleeding in that process of digestion. Then they're back to anemic and low.
Uh-huh, yes.
And it doesn't even show up, because then when you do the culture or the smear, it won't show up.
Yeah. They're good, yeah.
And that's only because they're low.
Yeah.
And sometimes the way they find it is they take a chainsaw and they open you up and they dump all your guts out on your belly and run down the intestines, small intestine primarily, and then they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a resection. A resection.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what that resection does? It allows you to come back and connect with the parts of life that you do like.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're no longer low.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how you know that? Because you have to fight to overcome a revival resection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it works. If they find it and do a resection, the recovery rate is just astronomical. Because in order for you to live through a bowel resection, you've got to want to live.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're no longer low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
Nice. Okay. How are you doing there, Bob?
He's enjoying his dinner while we're talking bowel resection.
I know.
Exactly. Unfortunately, it sounds really interesting and very revelatory, Carol.
Yeah.
I know,
Bob.
I can't hear it all. I can't fall off, but it sounds like something amazing.
Yeah, and Bob will say, see, Carolyn, it shows how everything you ever knew before is false.
Yeah, yeah. The whole new vista, the whole new world's opening up.
Yeah.
Okay. I am sick as a dog, even though I look perfectly healthy.
No, I don't mean that. But see, here's the fun of that. The only way we're able to convey this is because of Carolyn's preset knowledge in her non-physical. Otherwise, you couldn't get there from here.
That's right. I mean, she's open, but she knows a lot. You have to have, that's why I have to listen to it again. I don't even know the basics, so.
Well, and JW would have the same conversation.
Yep.
It's kind of like, whoa.
That's why I think these are pretty amazing, because if Carolyn knows things, and you're getting it corrected or shifted, but you have to know a lot to do it
from her.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right.
You have to, what? from her? What's from her?
This information that's flowing from non-physical has to come from her.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it. You're basically reading her mind and talking about it.
And putting it in the perspective of non-physical and source, and how we've kind of messed it up so much.
Yeah.
Mm. And well, yet somehow you're alive, so go
ahead. Oh, yeah. Some of us are alive, some of us are dead.
Okay. Yeah, so I was thinking, I was getting getting images of if Carolyn really can stun the medical world with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be okay to go ahead and schedule Bob's autopsy, huh?
No.
Well, he's already dead. We might as well see what claims the body.
No. I speak in metaphors. Don't you know that?
And then we'll give him a metaphorical autopsy, okay?
And that's much better. Yeah, we'll do a head to toe as soon as we're done. We'll get through the A's and then we'll do a Bob autopsy.
Yeah, stem to stern. That's right.
Okay, so Bob, I'm going to do a little more and then.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And
you know, it's a nice flow.
Great.
The thing is, Carolyn, we do the radio show at 6, which is what, 45 minutes or an hour?
Oh, yeah, 50 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't need to do anything with IM.
Okay.
I'll be doing the show.
So.
And we can do it after if you want. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Ion, tell me when. What kind of a break JW will need before this his, what is it, 12 o'clock show?
About 34 seconds.
Oh, you're too cute. Okay, let's do angina pectoris.
Okay, very good. That is the part that you use your nitroglycerin to help alleviate?
Correct.
Very good. What does nitroglycerin do?
Increases blood vessel diameter to increase blood flow.
And if you take nitroglycerin and you don't need it, what is the causal response?
A headache.
The worst, incredible, is though your head is about to explode.
Yeah,
correct. So when you have a bout of angina,
mm-hmm.
that comes to that place, you are in a place where your world is shutting down around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes something like nitroglycerin, and you're taught from an early age, before the 8 days of salt.
Yeah.
That's a very potent explosive.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, won't niacin do the same thing sometimes?
Correct.
But if you give them niacin, it doesn't have any causal effect.
What about Viagra?
Well, it's different because it's from a different count. If that effect's different, that doesn't do the whole body. Because if you take Viagra and you don't need it, it doesn't give you a headache.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's from a different. It's a different protease. Wait a minute.
I'll look it up too.
No, it's the same thing that they use with arrhythmias, that the H2 blockers, protease
inhibitor or something?
Yes.
Oh, an ACE inhibitor.
Correct, but it's from the protease because you have the other side. It balances. So it's what you use if you have a physical prolapse.
Mm-hmm.
Which would also cause angina.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right.
That's just the next step or the next layer.
Mm-hmm.
So the sentence is, when your world is shutting down,
Yeah. That's
when that happens. And your heart's pumping, but it won't flow.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit is strong, but the body's weak.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that need to tote their little thing of nitroglycerin. And isn't it amazing that they don't have to take a lot of it? If they just have it, that's enough.
Yeah, I know. So,
and the only time they have an attack is when some big trauma or stress comes in their world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I told you it was all shutting down. It's over. And I'd hoped for so much more.
I know. These poor people that get told they're heart victims and heart, they have... weak heart. I mean, it does make them feel
take the
very...
Take the people, the infections that affect the pericardium.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough to kill the planet right there. Just
mm-hmm.
basic. You get an infection in the around the pericardium,
mm-hmm.
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't tell that. They don't talk about that. They haven't made commercials about that. So now that's no longer an issue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking little infection will do it.
Right.
Change the flora of that fluid in here. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's done.
Okay. And, well, the next one is anorexia. It seems like we talked about that, but go ahead.
We did. It's your body rejecting the mind's ability to understand that your nutrition is in your body's control.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the example. JW, from time to time, craves V8 juice or tomato juice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But specifically spicy V8 or V8.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes it very cold. And if he ever opens, he buys it in those number 10 cans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't buy it. Good Lord have mercy. He wouldn't even know where to go to get it. But it's always about him.
Yeah.
In the pantry as a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And when he has that, just that urge
uh-huh.
to enjoy that, or gosh, that sounds good, or that sounds refreshing. If he ever opens that number 10 can, he cannot stop until every drop of that quart of liquid is consumed.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Mm-hmm. It's probably 100,000 milligrams of sodium. I mean, it's a lot of salt, because that's
mm-hmm.
what makes it taste good. But if he ever opens it, now it's not often, it's actually less and less and less lately, because it used to be more often.
Mm-hmm.
But if he ever opens it, if it's any time of day or night, he pours a great big glass full and he'll just drink it down. He'll pour another big glass full and
mm-hmm.
just drink it down. Pour another big glass. And then if it's the third glass, he might slow down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
sip it a little bit, but he will not stop until he is licking the inside of that can.
And the anorexic point is?
Your body can't follow its natural urges of its cravings. Because
mm-hmm.
anorexias crave food,
mm-hmm.
but then they'll eat, but then they go purge.
Well, that's bulimics, but yeah, it's in the same world.
Well, that, when you get there, that they can't have one without the other. It's just different degrees of
mm-hmm.
separation.
Mm-hmm. You okay?
That's a degree of separation.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Which number? 3?
No. 4.
Oh.
You got 3 last night.
Oh.
Yesterday morning.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What's 4?
Where you crave...
You don't allow your body's natural cravings to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the first 3 degrees? Forget them.
It's a detail. You'll just read the book. You'll get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you've already done that, Carol.
Not in this session, but they're within the text somewhere.
Yeah, I thought I did it. Okay.
You did most of it. I think you did 1 and 2, and
yeah.
I was in on 3, and this is 4.
Okay, good. Okay.
Now, what I remember about VA juice and JW is that's one of the things that started to revive him from his year in limbo.
Mm-hmm, maybe. And he's always enjoyed it. There's no contest there.
Mm-hmm.
But he could eat tomatoes, in sauces and... Apparently, and the only reason that I guess that is they say that the lycopene in the tomatoes is good for him. But he didn't know and he didn't care. He just loved a good acidy tomato.
Uh-huh.
He just loves it. He loves sauces. He loves... He makes a tomato gravy.
Yeah.
Which is just a little far out there. Just noodles. He doesn't really care for that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But he just absolutely craves it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take tomatoes and just roast them off and just eat them where they get richer, concentrate the flavors.
Mm-hmm.
They're sun-dried. Oh, those are the best. Just
yeah.
It's just good. But that's because he allows his natural body's craving to be satisfied completely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When that takes place, he doesn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
doesn't wait. Even if the concierge has to get up in a hotel somewhere and go out and buy it on his behalf, it will be satisfied, and then he doesn't wait, and nothing else happens till that happens.
Yeah, got it. Perfect. Anxiety.
Well, that's sort of simple. Now, which degree of anxiety, darling?
Well, it's interesting. I'm consulting with a lot of people lately who have rip-roaring, stay-at-home, bordering on, and agoraphobic anxiety. And,
Okay. So, is that the aspect that you'd like to deal with in this part? Because there's about eight kinds. But the main kind that you're talking about discussing here that you're asking, generally takes care of it.
Yeah.
Is the painting that they perceive will not align with what they know. And when it won't align with what they know, the rebellion in their knower, I have to use the right word there, because if you use any other word, you're on the wrong path. Okay. In the knower, then they rebel, and that would be the equivalent of anxiety, anxiousness. When they paint the fence, if the neighborhood goes to hell, and you're going to get mugged, and you're going to get killed, and yoni, and they don't agree with that, or they can't line up with getting mugged or killed. Well, if they do that, then they won't get mugged or killed, but they can be anxious from an experience of driving a car. They're afraid of traffic. They've seen all the bodies. They've seen the pilots on TV. They freak out, and they'll lock those fists down and have an anxiety attack, and they'll shut it down, and they can't function. Sometimes it has to be medically doctored. Okay, for whatever degree, varying degrees. Okay. Robbers putting a gun to your head, bam, you got an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Anxious about food, anxious about lack of food, anxious about resources, anxious about Snicker bars. Because they're not, if you have them, some people have anxiety with tobacco. If they have plenty, many non-smokers keep cigarettes around. In case they decide that they want to smoke, they can. And that becomes an anxiety antioxidant. That's sometimes the answer of how they sort of overcome them. You say having being anxious around or fear of something. If you could have one in your house, say you have an every time you see a snake, it sets off into an anxiety attack.
Right.
Get a pet snake. That'll take care of it.
Then
it becomes logical. It's not strange. It's not foreign.
But
it's based upon the picture they have in their mind.
Yes.
When they can't align with the picture as they see it, that's when it sets off in them, their physicalness, an anxiety attack. So it gives you a tremendous amount of insight as far as how to sift it out just a little bit to figure out what the issue is. And then when you detect what the actual triggers are, that'll give you the clue of where to start. And they have two choices. One, they either paint a different picture, soften it a little bit so that the picture might be a beautiful meadow, but there might be a little wisteria in there, which would be like a weed. Or there might be a big tree that grows in there that's not where you want it to be in the field. Well, if you could paint the picture, the tree in the field, then you see the tree, and that's your experience, it wouldn't trigger an anxiety attack. Soften it, and then that takes care, it allows the body then to not have the same basal causal reaction that would be a negative aspect of their psyche's disturbance. And you notice we were very careful how we said that. Because some people aren't anxious about anything, and you come in and they line up with being raped, and then the raper comes along and lines up with that, and then the next thing you know, they're having all these safety issues, of fear issues, of invasion issues,
mm-hmm.
you see. And then that can be activated.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that changes the basal, the normal
mm-hmm.
picture that's painted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's some of your schizophrenia, too, comes into that place. They check out because they're not going to have it with the way their picture's painted.
Right. Yeah, so my experience with clients is that they'll kind of, their bodies will weaken, or they'll go through some sort of hormonal shift, or they'll get you know, overly busy or just worn down, and then they start noticing their heart beating a little harder, faster, and it's just their weakness. But then they interpret it as, you know, then they learn that, oh, they're having a panic attack because they see the TV ads for it.
But how do you build up that weakness? Is it by resistance?
Yeah.
So to resist it, and see, now you're going to tangle up. Resist not evil. Oh, my God, he's going to get up.
Mm.
That just sent him off into a tree. You know who that is.
Bobby.
The resist not evil. Well, guess what?
Mm.
If you resist it, that can be a way to soften the tactile experience that sets the reaction.
Mm.
What's the other side of the coin?
Mm-hmm.
So, go see a scary movie. Expose yourself to it where it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're too busy and they're trying to be so busy they don't notice that they're anxious,
mm-hmm.
take off in the middle of the day and take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
On the street where the rapers are. I mean, you know what I mean? It just, anything that opens that up then makes it take, it softens it. It's not so traumatic. It's not such a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the statement is very good. The painting that they perceive will not align with what they know, so they...
with what they allow.
What they allow. Okay.
You see? Because, mm-hmm. see, you got to have degrees of that. Some people have anxiety attacks over Winnebago's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not anything wrong with that, except they had some, they've seen the Winnebago's crashing and burning and, you know, going off, careening off the ravines and falling off the bridges and all
or,
that kind of
or
stuff.
Or costing, what is it? No, or only going 8 miles to the gallon. That's pretty terrifying.
Sometimes that's not an accident. Unless you got a great BP card, then who cares? You
know? Yeah. Okay, that's good for anxiety. Arthritis.
Oh, very good. That is your inability to allow your joints frictionless expression of movement.
Mm-hmm. And what could be making them non-frictionless?
Okay. Their lack of knowing. Well, okay. Let's do it a different way, because that way we can get it very simple. If you have something that you push against that you won't do,
uh-huh.
and you use the excuse, well, I just can't climb stairs. I just can't do that. I'm getting old. I just can't have that. I can't face that possibility of taking on whatever activity that is.
Uh-huh.
That immediately sets the body into reducing the amount of fluid in those joints that cause almost like gout. Gout would be the uric acid that builds up, that you can't take out, will also land in those joints,
uh-huh.
causing inflammation.
Uh-huh.
And that inflammation then feeds the inability of that joint to be able to function in its correct capacity. time, people get it in their back. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty nasty. Mm-hmm. You have rheumatoid arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
You have early onset arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
If you use your hands in a specific way a lot of times, and then as you age, like let's say you crochet
mm-hmm.
or knit
mm-hmm.
or needlework
mm-hmm.
or quilt mm-hmm. or tat.
Okay.
And you do it all your life.
Yeah.
And then you get to a place with whatever degree that you can't do that any longer.
Uh-huh.
Guess what? You'll end up with arthritis in your joints, in your hand joints.
Well, does the arthritis make them stop where they can't do it any longer or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
They can't do it to the same tenacity that they did it before,
mm-hmm.
they need an excuse of
why
they can't enjoy it. So the body magically, perfectly provides them an out.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, that's total biology.
True. It's very true. Okay, good. Asthma. We get the asthma.
Are you calling it, is this asthma?
The next disease is asthma. A-S-T-H-M-A.
Oh, I kept saying asthma. And I'm going through my mind. And
what has she created now? I'm sorry, unless there's something more about arthritis.
No. But asthma was kind of interesting because it was like, we were going to take you there because it's there. But asthma is a constriction of the bronchial cilia, bronchial, you see the hairs?
Cilia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cilia. The bronchial cilia
from
being able to, or they constrict. And that's what the asthma sets on. And that happens
mm-hmm.
when, a lot of times in children especially, when they shut down with something or they have a fear of catching their breath or not catching their breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's fed, and then they have to carry an inhaler. And then they have to on and on and on and on and on that you
mm-hmm.
kind of come along with, and there's varying degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on that fear of them of being smothered.
Mm-hmm.
So the reaction is the bronchial cilia constrict, and it won't allow airflow, and then that stops. That's a disconnect from the blood flow, and so everything stops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many times, guess what happens? If they need attention,
mm-hmm.
remember, bad attention is better than no attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can get attention anytime they require it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some tricks with that are not what you know.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Sometimes hot coffee
mm-hmm.
will ease that because the caffeine excites and allows it to release.
Mm-hmm.
But another better way, it's actually better, especially if it's cold. A lot of times this asthma issue comes along when you're inside a lot in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
If you take them outside and it's like bitter, bitter, bitter cold, wrap them up and take them outside, the cold air immediately causes restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're already restricted, guess what it does? It releases.
Yeah.
And if you're in a hot climate, stick their head in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And the dryness, because there's not much humidity in a freezer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dryness is the same thing because of the moisture. The cilia, when they constrict, are dry.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The bronchial reaction is they're dry. That's why they listen for crackles.
Right, yes.
Because it's not wet.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
The opposite from a upper respiratory or lower or a respiratory infection type things when you have fluid on the lungs.
Right.
The opposite, right?
Right.
The cold, dry air causes it to immediately provide moisture, and that moisture then releases an asthma attack.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Much, 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 much better than your bronchitis.
Yeah, which just moistens and tries to open things up.
It tricks it into it, but after you get good at it and you want to beat this process,
mm-hmm.
you'll figure out a way to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to have an extra tailor. And then you got to watch them because they can't be out. And then you end up in the emergency room. And then you have to have a watch at school. And if they have it, they'll die if they don't have the treatment. And the butyrol just won't reach it anymore.
So what do we do to get to the emotional component?
Give them attention.
Ah.
Now, you really want to have some fun?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they really want? They either want one or two things. They want to be loved and hugged and appreciated and accepted in their reality,
mm-hmm.
or they want to be corrected. That means smack the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, wait. Are you saying corporal punishment? No. Painful attention is better. It's the same. You don't know the difference. If you have a fight with Bob and you get attention, that's attention.
Mm-hmm.
If Bob's kissing on you, which, of course, would sit you up a tree if it was in the wrong time, but... If he's been all amorous, that's attention, and that's also good, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's the right time.
But they may want, they may need correction, basically, too.
No, they just want to be loved. They want to love, and they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And if they love, and they don't have anybody that loves back, that'll give them asthma.
So give them attention, they want to be loved and hugged and accepted, but then they said, or they want correct, or you mean, you're saying the big or, that if they don't get that, then they'll take negative attention as long as they get something.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay.
Absolutely, because then they're a part.
Mm-hmm.
And they like that. They like being a part. They want to mix it up. They want contact.
Now,
the parents of the children, mostly, that are the largest sufferers from asthma, most of the time, if you look at the bodies and you see all the bodies, are the parents that are busy, 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 and they got big careers and big jobs, and their kids aren't around them a whole lot.
Yeah.
Or if they're even stay-at-home moms, they have their own lives and they're doing their things, and anything they have to do is because of the children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, doing laundry is a labor of love, but if the kid doesn't understand it, if every time they come in with a grass stain, it becomes a big deal.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they can't get dirty and they can't do this, you're making a hard on the family because of your selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Of being rough on these clothes that are my labor of love, and I love you, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you see that? You see, then that comes into a whole other place, so they won't go out and play and they'll catch asthma.
Is there a sentence there? Have we sort of covered that with the emotional component?
We did. The attention.
Yeah.
The structure of attention.
Mm-hmm.
The structure of attention.
Mm.
Because it comes on as an attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
An asthma attack is the lack of structure of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is.
Perfect.
You're going to piss off some total biology people.
Yay! Well, yeah, this, and I really appreciated the way you started out saying, well, you know, that total biology aspect is very negative. And yeah, I did, you know, I don't like coming from that stance. So this is a whole another way of skinning the cat. Okay, just a couple more.
Oh, we're doing good. Keep thinking.
Atherosclerosis or arteriosclerosis, whichever.
Okay, hardening of the arteries.
Correct.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
That has to do with the calcification,
mm-hmm.
layers, thickness,
mm-hmm.
thickness,
mm-hmm.
thickness.
Right.
Hardness of heart.
Mm. Nice.
Hardness of heart. It doesn't affect the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kill that muscle.
Uh-huh.
Then you have a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
But if you can get past that part, they can fix that now. You can't use that as an excuse. They'll rip that out and put you on the bypass, and you're there. You don't need a heart. They got machines.
Uh-huh.
But they don't have arteries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see? You cut a carotid artery, and it's over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
4 minutes, your blood's out of there.
No carotid artery replacements in sight.
Hey, maybe you can stent them up pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the issue, you see. The artery, the main line, the pressurized flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's a the word is stodginess.
Mm-hmm.
People who suffer from that palsy, they have a richness. Do you understand that the blood has to be rich to calcify?
Yes, it would have to be thick and rich and a lot of stuff in it.
That's why that they put you on blood
thinners.
Mm-hmm. Then you get a little heparin bath.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets just right, they'll make the little flowers bloom on your belly. You know, because it bruises so because of the
mm-hmm.
bleeding.
Right.
They go all the way around your belly button and make a little flower pot on your belly.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has to be in your gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
In order for it to be absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, why is that? It's that hardness, stodginess.
Mm.
And the folks that have a rich supply or flow eliminate or use that to really, they use that, well, I'll just say it and you can clean it up. How about that?
Sure.
They come into a place to where they've got the tiger by the tail, life's been pretty good, everything's fine, and nobody loves them because they're not going to give in to everybody else's whims.
Mm-hmm.
So that's those nasty rich people that you can't seem to abide,
mm-hmm.
by and large,
mm-hmm.
because they have to develop a hardness. Otherwise, nobody really loves them. They just want their money.
Mm-hmm.
Or their good word, or their promotion, or
mm-hmm.
their backing.
Mm-hmm.
A strong backing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks who suffer from this are older, successful businessmen or that have a great deal of responsibility,
mm-hmm.
who realize that they have all this wonderment, richness, so therefore they have to build walls.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good at blocking. They can see when somebody's just after them because they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Or get a couple $1,000,000 and you'll have all the friends in the whole wide world,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And so they become standoffish because they don't want to be hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they will calcify their arteries rather than risk being hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's your sense.
Mm-hmm. And what's the treatment for a person like that?
One way to do it is to change the part that you're trying to build the wall to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Give all your money away, and then if they love you, they love you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to croak anyhow. Well,
mm-hmm.
it won't take long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you come back to your scriptures and says, what is it for a man to gain the whole wide world and forfeit his soul?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because once you realize the process of how to do it the first time, it becomes normal. If you gave it all away, you'd get it all back. So, you know, you created, that's the easy part.
Right,
it's to get it and have people that love you and that you love,
mm-hmm.
that you have engaging interaction that's fulfilling. That's why their careers are so fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Because mm-hmm.
the widget that they sell never hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
But their ex-wives do.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, we'll do fungus in the foot, athlete's foot.
Okay. And now, do you want to go all the way into the toenail funguses as well? Because that's a form of it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because you're just going to do it all together? Okay. What's happening is your feet walk you around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what happens is you attract something that makes your feet itchy.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, then it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, if you, with good care, you can get things under your nail bed
mm-hmm.
that eat, and the reaction is those big, thick, yucky, you know,
yeah.
white gunk under your toenail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Athlete's foot spawns from your inability to be free in
mm-hmm.
your, when you were a kid, you never wore shoes.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're just free. Well, those people don't get in flip-flops. They
mm.
don't get athlete's feet.
Mm.
It's the closed in, this will hurt my feet, I can't do this, I have to have this kind of shoe to run, I have to have this kind of sock, and you soak all that in because your feet normally breathe. It's a fungi that
mm-hmm.
comes when you have restriction with your freedom.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Athletes' feet, why do they call that that? Athletes have to protect their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't protect their feet and they lose their feet, it's over.
Ah.
When they really want to do it, do the pole vault in flip-flops.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could do that, then there's no resistance regarding that because they don't have to have their feet to perform the task.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then an athlete then has more moisture naturally just because of good cardiac flow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once that comes into place, then the flora and the fauna get out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the athlete's feet part, but in the human part.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows up that way. That's why you have to be careful that it gets in, doesn't get into your bloodstream. As it gets into your bloodstream, and that's when you get the toe rot
mm.
or the toenail fungus.
Mm.
You see?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll leave toenail fungus for another day.
But once, if you don't deal with it, it gets in the bloodstream, then it goes through the system and ends back up at the toenail.
Yeah, because I don't know if I... I thought toenail fungus was still another local disease.
No.
Because if you have a systemic fungus, you know, you're supposedly you're really sick. It just.
Yes, but it doesn't show up that way because the same bacteria that causes the breakdown between the toes of athlete's feet.
Uh-huh.
That eats at the dermis to open it up and sometimes even make it weak.
Right.
That same fungus is where this flora and fauna imbalance comes into the body.
Mm-hmm.
And once it comes in the bloodstream, it goes through the system, but it goes right back down, back to the toenails and the nail bed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't catch toenail fungus from a nasty pedicure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if they cut you somewhere and it's nasty, that imbalance of flora and fauna will put it into your bloodstream and it goes right back to the toe, not necessarily to the fingernail. Now, you can get in your fingernails too,
mm-hmm.
but that's a whole different thing. That's the exposure of that issue.
Mm. Yeah.
It's actually the same type. It just shows back up there
right.
because that's its place. That's the furthest place it can go. That's the warm place where it's covered and no.
Yeah, and usually lack of circulation and poor oxygenation and all that. But, yeah, I'll have to think more about it being in the bloodstream because I'm not familiar with that.
How else does the nail bed get fed?
I don't know. I'm sure you're right. I just, you know,
it's fine. But you just killed two birds with one rock, so it's fine.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I'm going to turn you over to Bob just so he can talk to you for a few minutes before the show. And
is that a good place to quit?
Yeah, it's perfect. I'm going to...
Is that flowing the way you wanted it to flow?
Yeah, I'll go over it and see. I mean, I'll fine-tune it and learn how to focus my questions, but I think it was pretty perfect. What do you think, Bob?
That was quite a revelation. I didn't catch it all, but I heard a lot of stuff I'd run.
Was there any manipulation of pronouns?
I didn't listen that closely yet. No, there was.
No, no. does that mean? Which that are you referring to?
Yeah.
Yay.
Pretty amazing. I thought Carol was a revelation.
Yeah.
Were you, Carol? Did you follow it? Did you
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just I only kind of balked a bit on the toenail fungus being a systemic infection. So.
No, I didn't say systemic. No, didn't say it was a systemic infection.
Well, getting into the bloodstream is systemic. That's all I'm going on, then.
Okay, but it only is. You have lots of things that are in your bloodstream that show up in different ways. You have, that's why you have filters.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, you have lots of messages in your bloodstream.
Hmm.
But that's how you get it, is from the bloodstream, blood supply.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't sneak in under your nail. That's what can get up to your nail bed. Nothing. You only have blood flow.
Got it. Okay.
You done it that way.
Okay, good. Okay, Bob, I'm going to close up here and go to the pool and get back for most of the show, but I got to get to the pool.
Okay.
Thank you, relax. Ion.
And relax and don't be so angsty.
Hey!
Gotta go. We'll put you in the throw the ball team.
Yeah. That'll slow me down.
Yeah, we do appreciate, though, your concentrated allowing.
Oh, thank you.
That's a new place. Not many humans can do that.
Concentrated, yeah. I mean, to do both, it's true. You have to really focus.
Well, concentrated allowing.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear that, Bob?
Yeah, that's. I guess that's what you and I do.
Yeah, we are concentrated allowers.
Well, she does it because that's the end all. That's the product orientation. Where you're on the leading edge of just more. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is great. Now, what do we do with it?
Mm, I want to use it. Yeah.
We got it now. Well, now what?
Yeah.
I'm just masturbating, and Carol's making a baby.
That's about right.
Oh. Bob's on the leading edge of once more.
Yep,
that's right. More. Leading edge of ejaculation. Lord have mercy. They'll have you on the pedophile list before it's over with, Bob. Excuse me, sir, are you a sex offender?
Not yet.
But give me a minute. We'll see how it goes.
I like that answer for most things. Not yet.
Not yet.
Did JW say that earlier?
I don't know. I just start saying it around this whole process. Because you never know.
That's right. Not yet. What is yet? Mm-hmm. Look at yet. You know, you want to go to the pool, but look at yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm closing it out. It's over. You're done. You're going to get that later. You're not getting it now. I'll see to it.
Okay, Bob, so you guys are on in 11 minutes, and yes, I'm ignoring all input from source.
Oh, go put on your really pretty new bathing suit and go have fun.
I will. Thanks, Petey. Bye.
Yes, indeed.